never thought I'd say this. I am your host, Jody Sweeten, along with the great and fabulous Celia Behar, who is laughing at me so hard right now that she cannot compose herself.
I'm sorry. I don't even know what was going on.
I'm going to tell you guys. Okay, so I'm just getting over COVID. This is the first time I've seen Celia in a couple weeks.
Yeah, like almost 3 weeks.
And
yeah.
Sabrina, like I have not had a ton of human interaction over the last couple weeks. I'm not going to lie. I like hermited up. I was telling Sabrina it was a perfect excuse to just sort of check out of life for a couple weeks. And I did. And so now I'm weird. I mean, I was already weird, but now.
Right.
You guys, look at me. I'm dressed like a Flintstone, okay? Like, I'm Betty Rubble meets Mrs. Roper.
I love right it. Now, I almost wore a moo-moo.
First of all, look at the back. There's a little tassel in the back. You can't see it, but.
Oh, it's like, yeah.
No, so I actually, I love this. I got this in, where did I get it? Costa Rica, Mexico? One of the two. And I love it. I basically wear moo-moos now in the summertime, and that's what my life is going to be.
I almost wore my muumuu that I got in Chinatown on my sister's birthday, but I don't know if you're ready. I feel like I'm like dressed like a strong man from like I almost never wear tanks on the show, and for some reason it's making
you look weird. What do you mean you never wear tanks?
I never see you. When we record, I try to wear t-shirts. Because you once told me that tanks on camera are bad, so I was like, oh, I have to stay away from them.
But well, every so it's, often I. They're fine now when we're, you know, you're back a little bit further. It's just when you're like head up and all you see is like the naked. It's tube tops really that are a problem on camera, because depending on the
angle,
you can't really tell unless the person's naked.
What part of my boobs think that I can pull off a fucking tube top?
What part of your boobs think that?
Yes,
that,
no, I don't actually my
nipples.
Boobs.
I don't know.
No, I think they're all like, no, that won't stay.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah, where would it go? It would just be like.
Are you kidding? It would stay up better because you don't have anything pulling them down.
They don't have anything keeping them up.
See, as someone who has worn tube tops with big boobs, I find them to be the opposite problem. They just kind of, it like eventually like gets eaten up.
It rolls. It rolls down.
It rolls underneath under your boob.
Uh-huh.
And the tube top actually gets eaten from both sides, and it slowly sort of just comes down and up all at the same time.
Wow.
Sabrina feels me.
I do. He's like,
and you're like constantly like doing this.
Well, you do that.
Picking up the back part.
Right,
yeah,
you have to pick up the front part when you have no boobs. And let me just also say that as you're talking.
But there's not as much front part to pick up is the thing.
All right. I'm now like sitting here being like, I should do the show in pasties.
Welcome, everyone.
Woo! Speaking what if of, I do the season finale with just like pasties on?
You know, well, hey, you know what I'm gonna say is I'm gonna say today's episode we are talking about Pride. So if you want to do this show in some fucking pasties and rebel against the system and say fuck it, fuck your gender norms and like go for it,
right?
I'm here for it.
All right, I might do it. I mean, you realize that when you say I can do it, that usually that means so, I end up doing it.
I'm fine. I can sit here next to you with pasties on, and I'll be fine. It's whether or not we can post that episode on YouTube.
Well, I think that it'll just have to be a bar across me the whole show.
That's true.
That's what's going to have to happen.
We just put some cardboard in the table.
Or we sit you next to a large man whose boobs actually look bigger and just see
which
one YouTube has the problem with.
Uh-huh.
And I can guarantee you it's still going to
be
the woman's.
Yeah, it'll
bullshit.
Totally.
Anyway. That's my little rant for the day. Hashtag boobs.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm coming out of like a weird cocoon after having a very mild case of COVID. Although I did lose my sense of taste. Many probably said I lost that years ago, but.
Let's not go down that road.
Oh, well. But yeah, I it was weird.
Yeah, right? Is it back? Taste. Is it back now?
It is.
All right. Ew, she just went to lick the
microphone. No, I didn't go to lick the microphone. What's the microphone going to taste like? A microphone. I've never tasted a microphone.
Metal?
I don't know.
I don't either.
But anyway, my sense of taste and smell have come back. It was the strangest thing not having it, though, because it was, I'm sure some of our listeners out there have had COVID, and hopefully their taste and smell has come back, too. But, like, when you have it, you're like, oh, I can, like, you keep thinking that you taste it, and then it's not there.
That's
like,
so weird.
It's, your brain knows what it's supposed to taste like. And that almost like takes over. There's this weird expectation. It's the same thing when, like, you think something is going to be one flavor and it turns out to be another. Yeah,
but it takes you a minute to
catch
up.
But it takes you a second. Mm-hmm. It's that delay in, like, taste. And that's all you have, though, is you're like, oh, it's like, oh, shit, I lost it. Like, and you keep, you guys, I ate 2 churro donuts in chasing the hint of the flavor. Because there's this place, Sugar Taco, that I love here in LA that's vegan Mexican food, and it's so good.
We both love churros.
Like, and they have churro donuts.
Oh, so jealous.
Chonuts, if you will.
All right, that sounds like not what you want it to be.
No, it's not.
Chonuts. Yeah. It sounds like.
But they are
delicious.
So. But I ate 2 of them, and I was, like, the whole time going, why are you doing this? Because I was, like, I was smelling them. It was insane. Oh, I looked like, I'm so glad I was home alone. I looked like a crazy person. Because it was also the first meal that I noticed it. Like, well, it was the first meal that it happened completely. Like, the night before, I was, like, Chinese food, like, pepper chicken just doesn't taste great. But I was, like, maybe it's just, you know, whatever, shitty Chinese food. But then the next day, it was, like, the first thing I'd eaten, and I was, like, I panic ate food without being able to taste it. And then I regretted
it. It not so.
Yeah, like then I regretted it because I was like, I just ate all this food and I didn't even taste anything. Like, that's sad.
I'm sorry. Well, I'm glad it's mostly back, you said.
Yeah, it's back now. I'm good now. Although every once in a while, like, something will smell or taste a little strange. Huh. So, yeah.
So weird.
I know it is. But yeah, just I had like a little bit of congestion. I had a really crap headache for a few days. Ugh. And that was it. But I got it from Zoe, who brought it home from her 8th grade trip to the East Coast, which I'm not surprised. Her and about 7 others, I think, came back with it. B has not gotten it so far. I'm hoping it stays that way. She got her booster, so I'm hoping she can sort of skate through the worst of this.
I got Lulu her booster on Saturday night, and she was projectile vomiting.
Ooh.
My kids have always had reactions to every vaccine.
I was
going to
say, do they have reactions to
every vaccine? Okay. Like, their whole lives when babies, like, they always had either spike fevers or throw up. Both of them tend to throw up. I don't know exactly why that is. I know they're, like, a very small minority. Nothing's wrong. I mean, she was warm yesterday, but she never had a fever. But she just got, like, super nauseous and threw up a bunch late that night or early that morning, I guess it was. And it was really achy yesterday, but today she's fine. Meanwhile, I got woken up. It was ridiculous. She was sleeping in my bed with me, Lulu, because she wasn't feeling well. Although, honestly, she's been with me since the breakup. So she's just in my room a lot. I finally fell asleep, and she finally fell asleep. It was after the vomiting.
And a cat came in and puked on the bed.
No, Harper comes in.
Oh, Harper came in. And I hear
God, no. Could you imagine? I'd be like,
yeah, actually I could, because that's a whole other, reason that Harper would be coming in and puking.
Well, God, no, better not be that. So yeah, she comes in. I hear her kind of tiptoeing in, but, like, you know, once you're a mom, you don't sleep through things like that. So I just, like, I said, what? And then she jumps and she's like, mom, there is a gigantic cockroach in my room. Like, one of the flying ones. Right,
yeah, oh, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, and I can't, you guys, it's like one of my biggest phobias. And I passed it on to the kids. And this is one of those times I'm like, you know, anytime they'd be around at all, that was always when I'd be like, Dustin! Like, you know, it was just one of those moments where I was like, this is me. It's all me. Okay. And she's like freaking out. And of course, it also gave me an opportunity to be like, you should really pick up all the crap on your floor, because the thing kept landing places and going under.
You, like, should be like, your room is so disgusting. You have attracted cockroaches, dirty little creature.
It isn't. So I can't give her a crap. But there was like sweatshirts and crap all over the floor, like clothing on the floor. Right, so I kept having to, like,
it had places.
Like, and I didn't tell her this, but at one point it was flying around and landed on her bed. And I was like, I'm just not going to tell her that, because she'll set the bed on fire. And the cat, the 3-legged one, George Michael, is just running around after it, leaping in the air and batting it places.
Oh, like, well, he's trying to help.
Oh, yeah, he got it down a bunch of times.
Oh, good. Thanks, George.
George is the best. The fat one, maybe, who's supposed to be the hunter, is sitting outside the door staring at us like, you guys are dumb. I don't know. I'm not doing anything like that. Finally, I just got the vacuum. I'm like, Harper, get me the vacuum. And I have one of those, like, shocking thing. I have the attachment. And I have, because I have a Dyson handheld, so it's long. And I also have one of those fly swatters that looks like a tennis racket, but it's a...
Oh, right. Yeah.
And I've killed them that way before. I just... That's smart. And it's daylight on fire. it is one of the most satisfying things I've ever done.
I'm like, great. Now we're going to have fucking PETA here because Celia is talking about lighting cockroaches.
Dude, light them on fire.
Jesus Christ. Don't
screw those.
Oh, God.
I didn't end up
also,
having
to. Also, I did hear something recently that actually cockroaches would not survive a nuclear holocaust. So.
Well, apparently not, because if you smack them with a
right, they are actually
thing, they go, flammable. Bing. So, yeah, they're flammable. So anyway, I got it with the vacuum. And then, of course, I don't want to, go empty the vacuum, but I also don't want it crawling back out the tube, which it can. So I just have, I'm pressing the vacuum so it's still on as I run through the house. And then I open up the back door and just put the vacuum outside and close the door and lock it. And everyone go to bed.
That's tomorrow.
That's tomorrow's problem. Right. And actually, it's not going to be my problem. I was like, Harper, you will be dealing with that. She's like, well, is it going to be alive? I said, I doubt it. And
yeah,
if it
yeah
is,
probably. We didn't light it on fire.
It'll go out the way it came out. You know what I mean? Actually, it baked in the sun, was totally dead the next morning. And she, of course, made her sister help her take it to the garbage and empty.
Oh. You know, I will tell you, when I moved out of my house and bought my first house, I was very young. But I moved out and I lived pretty close to my parents. And I definitely called my dad at 6:30 in the morning and made him come to the garbage at my house.
Yeah.
Totally did. I called. I was like, Dad, guess what? Your job's not over. The best part was, he did it. That's the best part. Is that my
dad
showed up and then was like, well, I don't see it, Joe. And I was like, ah! Now I'm like, great. Now I need a blowtorch. Dad, do you have a blowtorch?
Wait, I have two cockroach stories that I have to tell. They're very short. Oh. One, let me just say, I can't deal with them when they're dead either. If I see them when dead in my house, can't deal with that anyway.
I told you about the escape room I went to and they put them on.
Yes,
right?
No, yeah. I can't. Don't ever tell me that story again. We've talked about
so
it.
So I went
not,
to the escape
room. you don't even understand. When I lived in Manhattan and they used to get into our apartment in New York, I would just throw gigantic books at them until they would land
here's
on
what
them.
Here's all I'm going to tell you. Panama.
No.
Yeah.
No.
That's it.
No.
That's all I have to tell
I know.
You. Panama.
No. I couldn't. Jesse would come home. My ex-husband would come home and say he always knew when there was a cockroach that
the because it been would thrown.
Well, there would be a Stonehenge worth of books around something,
right,
and
right.
The cat's staring at it, she wouldn't touch that, but
right.
It's under there,
right?
And he'd have to clear it out. So a while back, when I first moved to my apartment, one of them died. You know,
the
and
cats?
No.
Oh,
hello. We know which one I want to have die. No, a cockroach died in the window of my.
Mentality.
I don't really care for maybe. Anyway, a cockroach died in the windowsill, where you open and close it. Somehow
the
got
name
in
of
there.
My next album, by the way.
A cockroach died in the windowsill. That's good. I like that.
Right?
I like
it's
it.
Very,
yeah.
It's very 90s singer-songwriter.
Yeah, no,
okay,
it's
sorry.
Good. Well, Ani DiFranco has a lyric about a cockroach in her one of her songs, and it's disgusting, and I love it. It's one of my favorite
anyway,
songs.
Back to your
anyway.
Story.
So it's in.
Everyone's like, I've tuned out by now. People don't want to hear these stories.
I don't think that's true.
Okay.
Because there's other people with just as many phobias.
Okay. Right. So now we're telling stories about
it. Anyway. Why not? This cockroach, all you could see was its little
gross
dead feet,
right,
sticking
right, right,
up.
Right.
That thing, I kid you not, and I had professional cleaners come in and for some reason they'd always miss it and I'd always forget to say, can you please get the cockroach out of there? So I think it was 3 months into, maybe 2 months into me and Dustin dating, I was like, I have a job for you. And I made him get it. And he was like, when he went to go get it out of there, he looks at it and he was like, I'm almost positive that when I go to pick this up, it's just going to fall into dust.
Right.
How long has this been here? I was like, a long time. So he got rid of it.
Okay.
The other thing that happened was when one day I was at his house and I go to pee. I'm in his bathroom, obviously.
I am sure we all appreciate that.
Right. That'd be weird if I wasn't. And I'm... you're facing the bathtub where
right.
You're peeing. And I'm looking at the emergency drain, and I start thinking to myself, I'm like, wow, when did the tile crack in his bathtub under the emergency drain?
Right.
And I start really staring at it and I'm like, oh, but the cracks are moving, Because it was antennae. It was trying to get through the emergency drain. And I just walk out and I was like, Dustin? Can you please come in here? And so he did. I was like, those aren't cracks in your drain. Those are. And he just was like, okay, hold on. And goes, and he pulled off the antenna. He
Nikita, I am so sorry. I am so sorry. This is not who we are. This is not what we represent.
And Sabrina's reaction was mine, and I like ran away. I can't.
Our listeners can't. We can go to a break though, and I think we should. We're gonna do that, and then
it won't all be about cockroaches.
No, it's not gonna be anything about that at all.
We'll see.
In fact, we're gonna be talking about Pride.
That's right.
Yay! Okay. As parents, we're often dealing with more questions than we have answers. Although there are amazing parenting books available, who has time or the resources to research and read all that and find the ones that best fit your needs?
If you or someone you know need targeted parenting advice, there's ParentEducate.com. It's the go-to provider for research-based online parenting courses. These online science-backed courses contain the same info as those taken by early childhood teachers.
They're so great. And ParentEducate.com's ever-growing course catalog includes over 100 engaging online courses that cover a variety of topics, including behavior, development, nutrition, play safety, and more.
In these courses, you'll have access to courses on everything from, I mean, like literally everything, by the way. I've gone on there. It's amazing. It goes from, you know, how the first 3 years of a child's life can affect brain development, to child passenger safety, to learning positive discipline techniques. ParentEducate.com has something for every parent, no joke.
Each online course can be completed in under 30 minutes. They're available 24/7 and designed to be enjoyed at your own pace from any web-based device, including your phone. So this convenience allows families like mine and yours to learn effective parenting skills anywhere at any time. And Lord knows sometimes you have to just squeeze it in where you can and try and figure it out.
Yeah, and you can choose monthly, quarterly, or annual plans for as little as $4.99 a month for unlimited access to ParentEducate.com's extensive course catalog.
And new courses are being added each month with bonus material throughout the month, making it an amazing last-minute gift for new parents to help them raise healthier, happier kids.
Right now, ParentEducate.com is offering 20% off the first month of a monthly subscription plan for listeners of our show at ParentEducate.com. And enter coupon code SAYTHIS at checkout.
And hello, Never Nation. We are back, and it's June. So, you know what that means, my friend. Happy Pride Month!
Yay.
And also Juneteenth, a very big, very big deal. Please look up ways that you can participate and help support Juneteenth celebrations.
Yeah.
But hey, white people, don't make it about you.
Yeah, okay. Support Black businesses.
Yes.
I was talking to one of my Black friends about it, and she said that is the best way to please celebrate Juneteenth as a white person.
Yes,
and everybody in general, right. But buy from Black-owned businesses.
Yes. But the month is Pride Month. So happy Pride Month, everyone. We are very proud. So we are proud supporters of Pride. And although we do say fuck proud boys. So anyway.
There's nothing proud about that.
Anyway. Unless you're a boys with a Z and then we love you.
That's true.
Proud of you. Okay. Sabrina's like, oh,
she's like, where did this all fucking go? She's like, I made an outline for them, and so far they've like kind of glanced at it, and then we're like, nah.
You know what I do love that she wrote though is that I'm joined by the goose to my maverick.
I know,
Celia Behar. That's amazing, and I didn't even see that. Until
I did, and I was like, I haven't seen the movie yet.
We could have used it in 2 weeks.
Oh, still that's all right. Well, look, goose, maverick, that's never going away, as evidenced by Top Gun Maverick.
That's true.
So today we want to talk Pride and drag queen mathematics.
Because why not?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
And also drag queen books, like library circles and stuff like that, story hour, all of that.
Yeah.
Over the past couple of years, parents have had to get real about a lot of different topics. And this includes things like teaching our children common core math.
I cry. I'm not kidding. I have cried over Common Core math.
I have just told them to don't worry about it. And I had some testing done recently and for the girls and doing some things. And one of the teachers had said something about parent is struggling to stay on top of stuff. And I was like, oh,
shit.
So, yeah, it was meh. But, you know, especially during the part of the pandemic where we were wearing every hat under the sun, including math teacher, and instead of screaming about how confusing it is, we have discovered the mathematical, magical being that is Canadian Drag Race contestant. Is it Kine?
I believe so.
Kine, better known as Kine Santos, when she is not performing. And I think
she's amazing. We follow her now. I went and followed her.
I'm like, I also has some stuff up there about a fantastic breakdown of the history of the Philippines in three parts. Mm-hmm. A lot of historical stuff too. Love history.
She's awesome.
And speaking of history, since it's Pride Month, it feels right to talk about Pride and how it started. And you may see this on my page if you go to my Instagram. One of many things you might see, which is that, you know, Pride was a riot. And it was.
Mm-hmm. And we don't mean that in a ha-ha way.
In a ha-ha way. It was a riot, and it was a well-deserved riot. Yep. It was a necessary riot. In case you don't know, Pride actually started in the early hours of June 28, 1969 in Greenwich Village when police raided the Stonewall Inn, which is a popular gay club and bar there in New York City. Many eyewitnesses have identified trans woman Marsha P. Johnson as one of the main instigators of the uprising, and thus some have recognized her as a spearhead of the gay liberation movement in the United States. So one thing I always, always, always want to say is that trans women of color started Pride, and they are often one of the first populations to be pushed out of Pride, and that should not at all be the case. And so I just want to raise that awareness, if we can, that trans women started Pride, and we need to support them as much as possible. But according to the website LGBTQandall.com, a drag queen is typically a male who dresses as a female to perform. Mm-hmm. They perform in exaggerated women's clothing, presume female characters and representation, and also are the best at naming things, period.
Yes, totally, seriously, forever.
I truly thank drag queens that I really think we missed out on an opportunity for drag queens to basically name all things on the planet. I think that
definitely like streets. It would be awesome if every street was named by a drag queen. Could you imagine?
Oh, it would be great. The double entendre and wit that would be present in our street names would be much better than like
it'd be so great.
You meant get Main Street. Fuck that.
Yeah.
Main Street. Yeah.
Yep.
Anyway, I'll work on that in my political platform. Drag queens are amazing, and most drag queens are gay men and queer men. Some are transgender, and some are cisgender women. And like the rest of the LGBTQAI plus community, drag queens experience hate crimes and sometimes daily violence for being queer people. I have some amazing drag queens in my life who I love and I admire, who are some of the most creatively talented people that I know, and I have so much admiration for them. But I do... it breaks my heart to see some of the judgment that they face. And I think right now, you know, we are hearing a lot about
drag shows and how it's just a child abuse to take your kid to a drag show. That's the latest, I guess. I don't really understand at all.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say it. I just think it's backlash to disco, really. I think we're still in a frame of mind where people just hate disco and Donna Summer is not the thing.
I love Donna Summer, for that matter.
I mean, look, drag queens, it's art, it's hilarious, it's fun, it's wonderful, whatever.
Listen, that's part of why I liked this story so much and why I love her so much is that, you know, with certain populations screaming about how, you know, kids shouldn't be at drag shows or near drag queens. And it's like, really? Because... she's a pretty amazing teacher, and what's your problem?
Exactly. Right. Well, and you may have heard about, you know, the Drag Queen Story Hour charity, which is a nonprofit organizes family-friendly readings hosted by drag queens all over the country. And recently it's been in the news because the validity of their family-friendly events have been questioned by people who hate fun and inclusivity and all things amazing.
Right.
And they're boring.
Right. And bigots.
And there went half our audience. No, I'm just kidding.
But they left a long time ago.
But I have taken my kids to Drag Queen Story Hour before in West Hollywood. It's amazing. I want a drag queen to tell me a story every afternoon. Just anyone really to tell me a story. But seriously, that would be amazing. Like just 3 o'clock afternoon drag queen story nap time. I'd be like,
There's a restaurant in the East Village in New York that it's all drag queens that is
love it.
Runs it. Yeah, it's the best.
And it's like Hamburger Mary's here. You know,
it's the same sort of thing.
I remember my daughter's preschool. We hosted a drag queen bingo night, and I was the charity or fundraising committee person, whatever. But for years, 15 years, they had done a drag queen bingo night. And I remember that I posted something, and I remember getting a few comments of people who were like, "What?" Yeah, and I was like, first of all, we're not even taking the preschooler. Second of all, like, we make so much money at drag queen bingo for a fundraiser. It was amazing. And also, if the kids wanted to come, who cares?
I took Harper to the restaurant. We went and had lunch there, and it was great, and she had the best time. And
right,
you know.
Well, drag queen brunch, I think, is different sometimes than drag queen bingo. Drag queen bingo is a little
sure,
more
nighttime,
whatever. But, like, still.
Right.
Yeah, these people, they hate fun and inclusivity.
Yeah.
But somebody who does not hate fun and inclusivity is Kine.
Yeah.
Who is.
I hate math, though, so thank God for her, because.
Right.
Fuck.
I bet those people love math, and wait, they're missing out on really amazing math.
See?
See? Look at them. Kine's TikTok, but like Drag String Choir, Kine uses her talents to entertain and inform people about math instead of reading. So she does this by covering the real-world application of math, in addition to sharing math riddles for viewers to solve alongside her. I love a good riddle. so I do.
I know! I was just thinking about you on Beyond the Edge and how you'd get so, like, pissed off when you couldn't get the puzzle or the riddle. Like, she'd be like,
so mad. But, you know,
she's gonna punch someone.
Wrong. The real world problems and stuff that she uses on her page are great. And they're the things that you, like, always, you're like, well, how am I gonna ever use math? And you're like, here's how.
I know. I understood math when she was, like, I was like, ooh, I get it now.
So if you want to check out her TikTok, it is K-Y-N-E online, which is Kine online. So that's why I'm going to.
I'm almost positive that's how it is. Yes.
I don't think it's Kine. Is
no,
it Kine online?
No,
I don't think that's it. Okay.
I didn't expect that.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I don't know what's happening today. Take us back to cockroaches in a second.
That's what happens when we're not together for a couple weeks.
Kine online.
I'm sorry. That's so stupid. It's so stupid. Oh boy. Okay. Sorry. Jesse's going to have to edit out like 30 seconds of us just...
No, it's not.
Just leave it.
Okay.
Oh.
It is what it is.
You're welcome, folks. You're welcome.
Okay.
So anyway, Kine began her drag career while studying mathematics at the University of Waterloo and completed her major in mathematical finance... Badass.
Yeah.
While she was a contestant on Canadian Drag Race.
Yeah, I want to know all the people that hate drag queens so much and everyone else. Like, tell me what you do. Tell me what you've accomplished in your life. Did you accomplish that? Because that sounds
really fucking
hard.
Did you major in mathematical finance while also creating outfits on Canadian drag race?
Right.
I did not.
No, you did not.
But during the pandemic, she realized that her mathematical skills and prowess could be used to help parents and math students by bridging the gap between her two passions. Because what it's doing is making learning and education fun and entertaining. It makes it something you remember. It makes it a unique experience so that your brain takes an imprint of it. That's why stuff like this works and
it's
fun.
Right.
And the result of her combining these two passions for drag and mathematics is her wildly popular TikTok, Kine Online, not the other one. And it makes math fun, relevant, and incredibly creative. You know, she told Parents Magazine, she did an interview with them, and she said, the way I present math on TikTok is, number one, that math is interesting.
Right, which if it could be interesting as opposed to confusing and really daunting, more kids would buy into it and more parents as well.
Right.
Like, it's really pretty awesome.
Well, Lulu, you have a kid that is like a STEM math science sort of lover.
Yeah, Lulu is definitely. But she struggled even with the core stuff. And Harper, you know, Harper got an A in chemistry. She's like the only one that
she
did.
Tutored me.
I don't even understand how she did that. But she's had to work really hard, you know, for math. But she's gone and found things like that would help her, you know, understand it. And let me tell you, one of those things is not me.
Right.
Oh my God,
she's found things that are not you.
No, I mean, at all. It's bad.
But, you know, Kine said that math is fun and that it has these real life applications in all this historical context. And she said, I'm sort of filling in these little gaps that you sort of didn't get in school that make you think, okay, maybe math is really interesting. And I am so all for that. I love creating interest and doing something different in the field of education.
Yeah.
Since debuting her math focused TikTok, Kind has helped millions of viewers solve their own math problems while also providing representation to the LGBTQ plus people who work or have worked in STEM over the years. And, you know, she talked about representation as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I think is really great for kids to see.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, she, you know, she wants to eliminate like so many of the stereotypes about, you know, who can do math and who's good at things and all that stuff. And I like the fact that, you know, her message doesn't really stop at math. Like, it really is just, you know, across the board if you look at it that way.
Right.
And there's so many stereotypical things that, you know, girls are told they do better, you know, boys are told they do better. And even within genders, it's like this type of girl does this and this type of, you know, boy does that. And I think that, you know, she just makes things so inclusive and so fun.
Right.
I could, and by the way, I probably watched like every TikTok she had. They're so fun.
Yeah, I watched several of them, and I'm very excited to be following her now.
And she's the cutest. Like, and she's so talented, and so I'm just,
I love it.
I love it.
And she says, you know, I want young queer kids to see that you can be whatever you want to be. You can be a scientist or a mathematician. If we can see ourselves represented, we can see that there is no one way to be a mathematician.
Right.
And I love that. You know, I also have always respected Maya Bialik and also Danica McKellar, who, you know, has her degree in mathematics. I love seeing successful women in STEM, particularly that are still in some sort of entertainment that are like, look, I have this creative side to me too, but I also, you know, am incredibly talented at math and and all that. And I think it's important for us to see females, for us to see, you know, LGBTQ plus people that we probably put outside of the boundaries of most of our.
We marginalize them more than we even recognize.
Right.
And that's, she, you know, Kind says that she really hopes that her work does inspire kids, like I said, and especially queer kids, that, you know, she wants them to see an open door into the STEM field.
Yeah.
And like many before her, you know, she really hopes to eliminate the idea that only straight men are good at math and science, which, by the way, I hadn't even thought about. Like, of course, I was like, right, like, because queer kids do get put into like a whole other category most of the time. You know, you have to be artsy.
They're always going to be the theater kid. They're not going to be the jock. They're not going to be the...
Which isn't true. I mean, God, you know, think about even Beyond the Edge. Like, what, you know, it's just...
That's what I mean. Like, you're often told that, like, they're not going to be in these areas.
I mean, you know, football players are now coming out.
Yeah,
and baseball players are coming out. Like, thank God, you know? And so why can't that be? I just never even thought about it translating over academically, you know? And that was like, that was really eye-opening for me and something to think about, especially as the kids get older, you know, A, not knowing where, you know, they might land, but just knowing like friends that are coming in and out to be like more open to knowing what's going on with their friends and where they are. And, you know, because obviously my kids have some, you know, gay and queer friends, and I already see it now that she said it. Like, I was like, I've already seen this in that household where they're like assuming that their kid has to be in the arts, but I see that their kid's gravitating towards science, but because they see their kid as, you know, queer, they're like pushing them to dance and things And not that their kid doesn't like dance necessarily. They do want to do science.
Right.
And it's interesting that like even that bias is, you know, ingrained, you know, in parents that are wildly open-minded.
We all have our biases in regards to that. And I love that Kine is, you know, trying to break down some of those biases and those walls and those things that we expect, you know, a quote unquote math person or STEM person to look like and what we expect from, you know, the queer community. And I love that. And not only that, Kine points out that math is more than simply adding up numbers. It includes rational, logical thinking, something that society could use more of, a lot more of. You know, she explains not only logical thinking, but also, you know, statistics are a huge aspect of math. Oh God, I had to take statistics several times. I had to take it in college. I took AP stats. A lot of statistics.
Yeah.
And I'm actually glad I did, though, because it is so relevant to our real world. And she says, because we're always seeing statistics in the news, you know, not many of us know what it means for unemployment to be up by 5% or for taxes or mortgages to rise by 1%. Those things are really important. They include you in the conversation as to what is going on. I mean, my God, statistics, let's not forget the people on election night doing, you know, statistical yeah. gymnastics on television yeah. for like 18 hours straight.
It was crazy.
Yeah. And you can do deep dives into that kind of stuff. But I just love it. And I love Kind's message. For many parents, though, Kind's message is a welcome one. And especially since most of us grew up hating math and having to teach it during the pandemic, that did not help. So maybe,
she makes it fun.
Maybe now I can learn some math, too.
I'm telling you, you know, there were videos I was watching the other day of hers, and I was like, oh, like I had, right. There's, oh, okay.
Oh,
like,
that makes sense.
Get it.
Yeah. So if you want to check out Kind's TikTok, is it at Online Kind or at Kind Online?
Oh, it's Online Kind.
Online Kind. Oh, we've been saying it wrong.
Oops.
Oh, boy. Because well,
and she's also on Instagram. You can go and follow her on Instagram. If you just put in KYNE, she'll come up. She's verified.
Yes.
What I will say is just as away from math, but I just was thinking about drag queens and stuff in general. And I all of a sudden just had this memory that I feel like you'll appreciate.
Oh, boy.
When I lived in New York, when I lived in Manhattan, my grandmother, my dad grew up on the East Side, the Lower East Side. That's where my grandmother's apartment was until she died.
Got it.
That was her apartment on Avenue A. And when my grandmother passed away, I was the one that went into her house or her apartment and started like going through her stuff. And let me just tell you, my grandmother like really didn't throw away anything. And she had some of the most like fabulous outfits. Like,
right.
But they were like, from Mad Men, like, almost like what you'd see, or like Aurora on Bewitched, right? Andora, yes, Andora. And so Andora, it was like chiffon sleeve, you know, green dress, like Maud, and then there would be like a coat that was sleeveless that go over diamond buttons and things like
that.
Crazy amount of stuff, right? Just, and I was like, I don't want to throw any of this away, and I don't
want to
like,
but I also don't want to keep this in
mind. I'm not going to keep most of it. I kept some things. Right. But most of it, I was like, I have, you know, a couple of gay friends who also dress and drag. And so I was like, guys, I'm making you an entire, like, suitcase stuff. And I'm going to bring it to you. And, like, you tell me what you want. I met up with them. I had gone up to Ithaca to do something. They were up there for some reason. I'm not really sure why we were there at the same time. I brought it up.
Uh-huh.
Those queens did an entire fashion show for me.
Oh, yes.
It was one of the funniest goddamn things I've ever seen. And like, they look so amazing.
Right.
And they took everything, like everything. They took everything.
Right.
And they got like, they had shoes that fit. They had gloves that went up to their, all this stuff.
Right.
So then they go back to the city, and we lived within like blocks of each other. We went back to the city. And one day they just decide in the middle of the day that they are just going to completely like drag it up and go out around town and go shopping at like go to the drugstore to Duane Reade, completely dressed in drag. And remember, this is like early aughts, you know, maybe not even 2000. And so they just get completely like dolled up. And it's a walk up apartment, four floors, and they're clickety clackety down the stairs and going, and as they pass, they like pass neighbors who see them all the time, but not dressed up.
Right.
And they were like, hey, doll. And like, you know, walk out. They walk around Duane Reade the entire time, and it's Manhattan, and still they were like, yeah, we got some looks, you know?
Right.
They come back and pass like other neighbors, and they're like, what's up, baby? You know, go back up, whatever. The next day, a letter went up on the thing saying that the apartment had been broken into by drag queens. In the building, and they were like, and they were like, be warned. And they were like, bitch, like, we didn't do anything.
We didn't even break in.
They were like, live here. Like, and they said they were both like so proud too, because they're like, nobody even knew it was us. Like, they were so excited.
Fantastic.
Yep. It was props to them.
Well, one of the things we are grateful for is teachers, is drag queens teaching math,
drag queens in general.
and is also
that the title of the episode?
Drag queens in general. But here we go. We're going to play our little game. So I'm going to pick something.
Alrighty.
You know, I've been keeping a gratitude list lately. I've been trying to be a little more positive in my...
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I've been meditating like a motherfucker. So
there you go.
Yeah. That's trying to keep
it grateful. What is this? Oh, things I'm grateful for. Driftwood.
I feel like we've had this once before.
We've driftwooded. Sure, was it morning wood? Okay.
That's what we're grateful for, turns out.
I would be if there wasn't.
Oh my god. Oh, this one's so mean.
Oh,
oh my god. my so god, so, like, I'm so excited to see the car. I'm as excited as the thing.
You should tell that story.
Dogs who are excited to see someone. That's what I'm grateful for. You guys, I'm so grateful for dogs. They're excited to see someone. Mainly my dog, who is excited to see me because she's so fluffy. Most of the world's problems would probably end if every human being was required to act like a dog who's excited to see someone. Prisons could require hours of dog excitement training as a rehabilitation technique. Keep yourself out of prison today by embodying the wiggly, panty, jumpy, what? Oh, got it. Not that kind of panty.
Where is your mind today?
I'm sorry.
We went from morning wood to panty. What's wrong with you? You are Mrs. Roper today.
Keep yourself out of prison today by embodying the wiggly, panty, jumpy, lovey excitement of a golden retriever or my doggy set.
For you, apparently.
I'm happy to see you too. Is that a golden retriever in your pocket?
Jesus Christ. Oh, wait. Can you pick that one? I'll go from the middle, even though it gives me anxiety. Oh, yay. This is good for me, since I've just wanted to be in bed my entire life. Pillows.
Oh, love a good pillow.
I travel with my pillow. I'm that fucking person now, because my neck is so messed up that I have to travel with
my mom told me. She said, don't worry. Someday you two will get to an age where an overnight trip requires a suitcase. And...
it's so sad. It's so sad. Like, going away in the city, half my suitcase will be taken up on my fucking pillow. Anyway, go look up what ancient Egyptians put their heads on to sleep. Now, go squeeze that soft, welcoming cushion you get to snooze on. You're more lucky than an Egyptian pharaoh.
What did they put?
I think not pillows. I think that might be
what is it? Is it a rock,
a mummy?
Hardened cattle dung. I'm wrapped in burlap.
I think it's a mummified cat. You have to sleep on a mummified cat. It fits right under your neck like that. That's what I'm going to do to Maybe.
Oh, God.
I'm going to mummify her. I won't, though.
Again, with the animals on the show.
I'm not going to do it while she's alive. And don't say that, Sabrina. You don't know that I won't murder that cat. I might.
Well, on that note,
I won't mummify her because I don't like her. Sorry.
Just so you all know, no animals have been harmed in the making of this podcast today. Thank you guys so much again for joining us. We are always happy to be here dressed as Mrs. Roper or...
what did I say? The strong man?
The strong man?
It wasn't really, but I just feel like, I don't know, like Danny
Stretch Armstrong?
I'm like Danny Zuko or something in my wife beatery.
We can't use that word anymore. We can't use that as a description of a
tank top. Yeah, I guess not.
It's sort of a not cool
It's
one.
Really not cool. Although... Sometimes well, it's accurate.
Right.
In my own personal experience.
But the tank top did nothing to deserve that.
Anyway.
You guys, thank you for joining us. Thank you so much. Remember, it is June. Go out there and celebrate Pride. Celebrate who you are. Love is love. Start by sending some donations and support the Trevor Project, local LGBTQ Center, Trans Youth Projects, all of that kind of stuff. The It Gets Better Project that's out there as well.
Go follow Kine for sure.
Yep.
Support businesses that are owned by LGBTQ plus.
Yes. And remember, Pride was a riot started by trans women of color. Keep that spirit of resistance. And we love you. If you want to follow us on social media, you can find us at Never Thought I'd Say This across all socials. You can find me at Jody Sweeten.
You can find me at the Celia Behar.
And thanks so much for joining us, guys. So remember, keep killing the parenting game.
I'm not your kids.
Never Thought I'd Say This with Jody Sweeten and Celia Behar is an Audio Boom original.